Thank you very much, and thanks very much for the invitation. I'm going to be speaking about a project which is very much a policy-engaged project, in that the work we've been doing in this area has been already produced a number of consultation responses. It's a live policy issue. And what I'm going to do is give some background to the policy issue I'm going to be speaking about, talk about a dip into the available empirical data that we've done in our consultation responses and in a paper that I've written with my co-author, Sharif Labo, and then make some remarks which are actually policy proposals and discussions of what might be done. The policy issue is an old one in a new context, if you like. The old one is the question of media plurality, familiar to all bleeding heart liberals and people who are concerned with problems of concentration of media power, and written into law all over Europe in the form of, in particular, merger regimes and special public interest regimes which govern media mergers. The objective of the special public interest regimes, which I'll talk about a little bit more about in a minute, is to prevent control over the process of opinion formation in society in a way which would undermine the legitimacy of democratic processes. They go in this country all the way back to the 1949 Royal Commission on the Press, the Fair Trading Act 1973, provisions on media mergers, particularly on newspaper mergers, and currently we're speaking about the Enterprise Act and the Communications Act, which set out a special regime that applies in terms of a threshold above which in terms of value of the merged entity, the threshold above which this merger would be likely to be considered to operate against the public interest in media plurality. So the question, the bigger question that we've been trying to grapple with is, given that access to news, current affairs, and information more widely is increasingly over online platforms, do we need to be asking new questions about, one, the regulatory framework, the existing laws on particular mergers, but also in broadcast licensing, and in particular the processes and procedures and methodologies for monitoring media plurality? How might, for example, powerful platform positions which are emerging in terms of platforms like Google and like Facebook, how might they be generating concern in terms of the objective of media plurality, or in the US it's referred to as diversity, and how might the regulatory framework need to be developed in order to deal with those new forms of intermediary and platform power? So, I'm going to just mention what we mean by platforms and the debate about algorithmic authority. And it does sort of relate to some of the things we were discussing this morning. And there's a wider, if you like, there's a wider academic and public debate going on about whether platforms such as app stores, particularly Google and Facebook, are exerting a kind of a pseudo-editorial power in mediating between publishers at the bottom here and ultimately viewers over a variety of different distribution platforms. So the question is whether this algorithmic authority needs to be taken account of in relation to this existing and long-standing objective of guaranteeing media plurality and media diversity. So what is media plurality? Ofcom is currently consulting about this. There is a definition in their consultation, which is, I think, is very admirable and succinct. What are they trying to achieve here in measuring media plurality? Ensuring there is a diversity of viewpoints available and consumed across and within media enterprises, and preventing any one media owner or voice having too much influence over public opinion. So this is very much about protecting public debate from undue influence. Classic definition in the literature is separates this out in terms of the potential for concentration at the level of the number of news providers that are available, but then qualitative distinctions at the level of content, and the necessity also of looking from the point of view of the individual consumer. Although the number of opinions available in a market or available within any one source may be diverse, from the point of view of individual consumers, their consumed diet may be becoming less diverse. And this is related to the notion of a filter bubble, Elie Pariser's classic critique of emerging narrowing of individuals' media diets and consumption, and the processes that have been described by Cass Sunstein as the daily me approach to media. So these are established goals in the policy framework, and in a paper that Rachel Crawford Smith and I wrote a few years ago, we looked back over the debates involved in media plurality policy and identified these four objectives which I've mentioned. And I don't need to go into, I don't think, any more detail. So the legal basis of this, I've mentioned the merger regime, but also in the Communications Act, there are particular prohibitions on changes in broadcast licenses. So if you want to, if you're a broadcast licensee and you want to buy a newspaper or another broadcast licensee, those changes I won't use the term ownership after this morning, but the operation of a broadcast license may be refused by Ofcom on the basis of the objective of media plurality. So, I mean, some of you will remember, just to give you the practical example, during the Leveson inquiry, when Jeremy Hunt, who was minister, was called in, and it emerged when his texts and emails were disclosed that he'd been receiving hundreds of emails and texts from the advisor to News Corporation, Fred Michel. And this was an issue because of the role that the Secretary of State has in this merger regime. This is this is slightly out of date because it refers to the OFT, etc. But it describes how the merger regime works. I don't think we need any more detail than that. But obviously, when there's a merger, Ofcom has to advise on whether this is going to reduce media plurality. So the question is, how do we continue to have a framework that monitors and prevents undue concentrations of power over the public opinion process? How do you measure this? And this is what Ofcom has been consulting about, and this is what the Media Plurality Monitor, which the European Commission funds, is currently attempting to measure in other European countries. So just to take a couple of steps back, I mentioned there is a debate about algorithmic authority, powerful platform positions. And I can just mention a few of these discussions that have been going on, because they've been independent of the old discussion about media plurality. My concern is whether media plurality as a framework and as a set of rules can do anything about this. Can media plurality as an as part of the old framework, as a concept, and as a legal regime, does it offer any way of dealing with these emerging concerns about algorithmic authority? So let's look at those concerns. Some of the issues were mentioned this morning. Facebook voting experiment. So Facebook uses its editorial power to post buttons which suggest, you know, have you voted? If you vote, all of your friends receive a notification. Bingo, what it emerges, Facebook can have a measurable impact on your likelihood to vote by displaying to you the fact that your friends have voted. So questions there about the power to swing an election. Implication, of course, being that could be geographically targeted in particular constituencies or particular opinions or particular demographic groups. So even the perception that this kind of information could be targeted unknowingly is a harm in itself. Facebook has done a number of other things. I remember we had Facebook in a conference in Oxford less than a year ago, and they were describing how they've also done what they see as socially beneficial interventions in terms of targeting messages around improving organ donation, also flood defences and civil rights and other things. But the question remains, how do we deal with that power to affect outcomes and affect public opinion? Criticism is coming from other places, and this is the, if you like, the kind of realist background to the current policy debate and lobbying that's going on, particularly in Brussels. News publishers are complaining about Facebook. They are, in some cases, contracting directly with Facebook in order to improve their audiences, but they're also complaining very loudly that Facebook has the ability to turn off their traffic. And they're also making similar complaints about Google, powerful news publishers, particularly in Germany, but also in France and Britain, beginning to exercise some lobbying power, making these complaints that when algorithms are tweaked, then traffic can be turned off by these important social media platforms. So I won't go into any more detail, but the question then becomes, and this is what Ofcom is currently consulting about, for various reasons that we could go into, Ofcom is developing a new measurement framework to meet its existing legal obligations to monitor media plurality and monitor the effectiveness of the current media plurality rules, and also a measurement framework that it will deploy in the event that there is a merger, which is referred to Ofcom by the Secretary of State under the Enterprise Act, because it has a duty to advise on whether this merger is likely to operate against the public interest in media plurality, media pluralism. So one of the things we tried to do, and we worked a little bit with Ofcom on their framework, is trying to think, if you want to actually measure this effect, measure the power of Facebook in particular, but also other intermediaries in shaping and affecting public opinion, according to the current definitions of media plurality, how would you go about that? So we've just had a bit of a dip and a bit of a play with some existing data. And this is mainly data about referrals. So news publishers' data about where their traffic comes from. And on the other hand, and this is what Ofcom generally rely on, it's data about surveys about where people say they get their news and information from. Media plurality is about more than news, but we focused, like Ofcom has been asked to focus, mainly on news to simplify this and focus it on the most important thing. So it is the case that audiences are getting more and more of their news online. So this is just a snapshot of 1 year, but it doesn't deviate from the obvious longer term trend. And if you look at radio online, you know, these are not controversial claims. Online is becoming much more important as a proportion of consumers' news consumption. Survey data, again, this is from Oxford's Reuters Institute, examines how people find news online. Because if we observe that in the future, probably most or even nearly all news will be delivered online, then the question becomes, within that slice of the pie, how much is travelling via intermediaries? How do individuals get their news online? And there we find that it's a significant but not overwhelming proportion of the total news diet. But this varies according to which news brand you look at. So The Guardian say that 50% of their traffic comes through a combination of intermediaries, so Google and Facebook primarily, but other search and social intermediaries. But if you talk to other publishers, BuzzFeed or New Entrants, they're much more reliant on search and social determining their traffic. So we begin to get a picture using these publicly available sources of data of the scale and the growth in intermediary influence over, or potential influence over news consumption. However, we do have to enter a few caveats and think about the way people are using search and social. Search in particular is often only used as a navigational tool. You enter the search term BBC rather than the search term Jeremy Corbyn into search. And this is also measurable. Working with the BBC, we got some BBC data to break out some of these findings. And we find that, yes, search is very powerful, but very often it's used in a neutral way. There's no potential for editorial power being exerted in the way it's used. So I'm using up my time rather rapidly, so I'm going to skip a bit. It's very volatile, and mobile is becoming much more important, and that's changing the importance of apps. Apps are becoming more important, and social is becoming more important in news, and search is becoming less important. So, moving back to the policy debate, one of the things that we've been kind of wrestling with is how the measurement framework or the monitoring framework needs to deal with all of this. And using the sources that we've been able to get our hands on, this echoes some of what Bernie was saying this morning, we're finding that one of the key problems is really accessing the data. And there's a paradox, which is that in this new world of online, intermediary mediated formation of public opinion, everything is much more theoretically knowable or measurable. But for a researcher, it's actually much more difficult to build up a picture. In the old world, researchers or regulators could simply access broadcasting audience data, relatively reliable newspaper audience figures, radio surveys, and user diaries in order to build up that picture of the role of traditional media in shaping and controlling public opinion, and the potential for powerful positions which would undermine legitimacy. Now, although we know there may be some kind of issue here, and it's certainly something that we need to monitor and watch for the current years, it's much more difficult to know. It's much more difficult to come up with an effective monitoring framework for it. So, and I think I'll probably just close with this. You know, I'll move on to the next part. Where the debate is now is partly in terms of the intermediaries themselves are trying to work out their ethical responsibilities and the potential for self-regulation. So, for example, in relation to the idea of filter bubbles and narrowing of media diets, intermediaries such as Facebook have been interested in whether they can design in plurality and design against the kind of self-referential filter bubbles that people, that existing algorithmic practices might tend to favour. There's a discussion around whether there should be a plurality dialogue, much more of a discussion between intermediaries and civil society about how they can regulate themselves. There are also live processes about monitoring, and I've mentioned some of those. But the European Commission has now, just weeks ago, announced a new consultation on platforms, intermediaries, which takes into account not only the kind of liability regime, but the wider social impact of intermediaries and their position. Like the old debate about media plurality, that's all about whether competition law is enough. Is this just an issue about competition, or do you need a sector-specific set of rules which apply to the issue of media plurality? So, skip that one. Just to kind of sum up where we've got to in terms of recommendations in the paper that's in the process of publication, and we'll be publishing a policy brief shortly. Part of the problem is in the notion of media plurality itself. It's notoriously ill-defined and difficult to measure, but Ofcom is stuck with it, and particularly when it's reviewing a merger, it has to come up with relatively reliable, hopefully very reliable, advice to the Secretary of State under the current regime about whether a merger would result in a reduction in the number of news sources available and used by consumers. So we have this narrow theory of harm, and we're arguing that we need to stick with that narrow theory of harm in terms of how the current regime is applied. However, there is the other question, which is Ofcom is consulting about, which is how can we develop a monitoring framework which would inform future public policy and enable us to deal with this problem in the medium to long term. And in that case, I would argue that we need to think much more widely and give Ofcom a wider remit in terms of a watching brief for thinking about how, in various ways, the operation of these intermediaries could result in undermining media plurality and thereby democratic legitimacy. So I'm going to stop there.
Good, thank you. Thank you very much.